Hello, my name is Andrés Blanchard from Mendoza, Argentina, and I'd like to invite you to taste our wines and get to know more at our website, which is cuartodominio.com.
Thank you for listening to iWine Radio. I'm Lynn Crelo Chamberlain.
Welcome to Wine and Dine.
We really don't get to visit Argentina often enough, but today we are spending two courses to learn about Bodega Cuarto Dominio from the Uco Valley of Argentina. And joining us today on Wine and Dine is Andrés Blanchard, who has been with the winery for a number of years and recently joined as part of the ownership team. In the United States, the wines of Bodega Cuarto Dominio are imported by Terlato, and we will have links up for you to learn more. But Andrés, and of course, you're hearing, Andrés sounds very Spanish, but Blanchard sounds very French. And so we're going to start by asking him about his family's history in grape growing and winemaking. Very, very cool journey from Savoy in France to Uco Valley. And Andrés, thank you so very much for your time today.
Thank you, Lynn. Thank you so much.
So why did your great-grandfather, why did he make this huge move? Was it like around the time of phylloxera?
Yeah, well, actually, I mean, my family, we are not coming from a very rich family back in Europe. You know, all immigrants were coming to Argentina and also the United States looking for opportunities. And the fact that my great-grandfather, he decided to come to Argentina is because he was a vineyard worker there in the Savoy region. And he got in contact with many Italians that were also vineyard workers there, and they were telling stories about so many families coming to Argentina and getting to have their own vineyards. So finally, he decided to make a big step. He grabbed his suitcase, and he started a journey to Argentina, to Buenos Aires, and then to Mendoza. So basically, that's the way he arrived to Mendoza in 1911.
Well, that was awful convenient that he didn't have a family to bring with him. I mean, he was a single man at that time.
Yeah, that's correct. He was a young man. He was only 18 years old. So he left his family actually in Savoy and came here.
Wow. Did he bring any grapevine cuttings with him in his suitcase?
No, actually, no. He just was bringing his own savings, small savings, you know, as you can imagine as a vineyard worker.
So when he finally made his way to Mendoza, did he then get a job at a winery or was somebody who owned land?
That is correct, actually. He started working for a big family there that they don't actually exist anymore. We're talking about 1911, 1912.
Okay.
And basically he started to look for a few lands, and the best lands at that moment were in the east part of Mendoza, which is a hotter area.
Mm.
So basically, as he couldn't afford that, he had to buy near to the mountains.
Oh, wow.
Which is, of course, colder area, and it was more difficult to grow at that time. It is what they thought. So lands were cheaper, and he had to buy there. The funny thing is that now, today, you know, the vineyards and the lands next to the Andes Mountains are the best quality vineyards.
How is global warming affecting the vineyards where you're at? I mean, I was watching a program on PBS just last weekend about Switzerland and how much the glaciers are melting, and they're so fearful it's going to change their whole way of life. So at that high elevation where you're at in Mendoza, how is that changing with global warming?
Well, that's very particular in our microclimate. As you know, we are very next to the Andes Mountains. And of course, everybody could think of the last 2 years, for example, of having very hot and warm years. But actually, it's been the opposite so far in the last 2 years for us.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we've been having a lot of rains, actually, at the end of the harvest season.
Yeah.
So basically this year, for example, it's been a very rainy season, and actually we are ending our harvest 2 weeks, up to 3 weeks later than we were supposed to. So it's a little bit the opposite when you think about global warming, because you could think of a warmer climate where you could have to harvest before, you know, and not
right.
and not getting the best maturation. So far for us, in this kind of microclimate we live, the biggest changes have been very rainy seasons.
And you have to leave the grapes on the vine so that they'll dry out and you don't have a problem with mold when you harvest.
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay. Wow. So that totally changes your whole schedule.
Yeah, absolutely. No, it's absolutely. The good thing is that in terms of the whites, we've been really lucky enough to harvest before all the rains.
Okay.
I mean, just to give you an example, we have 300 millimeters per year of rain in Mendoza.
On average.
On average. And right now, we actually had already 200.
Whoa!
And we are only, you know, finishing April. That was the amount of rain we had.
But that being said, where the vines are planted, is there really good drainage? Do the grapevines?
Oh, yes, okay. Absolutely. You know, our soils are really poor and mainly sandy and rocky.
Okay.
So they really drain very well, and we've been lucky enough, you know. Otherwise, we could have a lot of problems.
So Uco Valley, in my mind, I'm picturing a valley. And so at the bottom of the valley, is there a river called Uco River?
Well, there's the Uco River, the Tunuyán River that go across the Uco Valley, actually. And this valley is kind of an oasis in a desert. We could think of Mendoza as a high-altitude desert.
Okay. With all this extra rain, are there flooding issues with people then that are in the valley that are closer to where the river is?
Well, not flooding, really. We haven't had that kind of troubles. Because if you think about it, even if it rains a lot for us, it's not a huge amount of rain. I mean, in Florida, you could have that in a day.
Okay, good point. Okay, good point. Thank you for putting that in context. Okay, that's wonderful. You have been with Bodega Cuarto Dominio for how long? And when did you switch into this ownership position?
Well, that's a very good question. Actually, I'll tell you a little bit about what is Bodega Cuarto Dominio and who owns it first.
Okay.
Actually, Bodega Cuarto Dominio is a small winery, okay, that only owns small 25 hectares of vineyard. And it's managed today by the fourth generation of two families.
Okay.
In one side, it is Javier Catena Pedro, who is the fourth generation of his family, making wines of Italian origins. Mm-hmm. In the other hand, there's my family, the Blanchard family, and I'm also the fourth generation, but as grape producers. So this is very interesting, because my family has been producing grapes in different areas of Mendoza for over 100 years. And Javier's family has been making wines for over 100 years.
Oh, yes.
So being said, it's just two families, small winery, with a lot of history, if you want.
Yes.
In the other side, we've been friends with Javier for over 20 years. I used to work a lot for his family before being part of Cuarto Dominio. So when I moved to Cuarto Dominio, I was offered 5% of the company, just to give you an example.
Okay.
And finally, well, after 3 years, we decided it could be great for him and me, only us, to be in charge and manage the family winery. So
yes.
We made a proposal to actually his family, and we bought the 45% remaining. That's the way we became business partners, not only friends.
It's a marriage made in heaven, one who specializes in production and one that specializes in the vineyard.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. I mean, it is at the same time such a different work. It is completely, even if, you know, of course, winemaking families, they also, of course, has to grow vines, and they are experts on that. Only growing vines is a very different thing, and you really have to depend. You really depend on climate conditions. I mean, you don't produce the wine, you don't have the ability to sell the wine. So you really need to get to know very well your vineyards and the area and the climate conditions you may have. So it's been wonderful. I mean, it's been great to marry these two, our two families.
If I could say here before we go to break, I think that you have the advantage, Andreas, because as so many people say nowadays, wine is made in the vineyard.
Well, absolutely. I couldn't agree more. And, well, I think, of course, if you don't have the experience of making wines and getting to know, you know, your vineyards as well, you will never make a good wine. But it is 100% true that the wine starts in the vineyards.
Mm. We're talking mainly about Malbec, specializing in Malbec at Bodega Quarto Dominio. And we're going to continue this conversation with Andreas Blanchard when we come back from break for the second course on Wine and Dine here. And I'm not exactly sure the elevation where the vineyards are at, so we're going to press him for those issues as well. We thank you for listening to Wine and Dine. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Jeff Jensen.
And I'm Mike DeSimone.
And together, we're the World Wine Guys. We're really such proud authors of this book, Wines of the Southern Hemisphere, The Complete Guide. We really feel it's a great reference guide to any lover of wine from around the world, but especially the person who wants to learn more about the wines from the Southern Hemisphere.
And you can find out more about us and the book on our website, worldwineguys.com. And when you're out shopping, stop by your local bookstore and make Wines of the Southern Hemisphere your own.
iWine Radio is a production of Food Tastes Better with Wine on the web at iWineRadio.com.
I'm Lynn Crelo Chamberlain.
Welcome to Wine and Dine.
I would venture to say that if you are traveling in Argentina, in Mendoza, you could probably stop by and visit Bodega Quarto Dominio, imported into the United States, Bertolotto. Specializes in very, very yummy, yummy wines from around the world. We're continuing our conversation with Andreas Blanchard. Andreas, what is the elevation of the vineyards? Or do you have a couple different vineyards at different elevations?
That's correct. All our vineyards are over 1,000 meters elevation.
Okay.
Which is really, I'm sorry, I couldn't tell you in feet, but it's a lot. It's very next to the Andes Mountains.
Mm.
Actually, it's at the foothills of the Andes.
Okay. And so this elevation, when your great-grandfather came, as you mentioned, people were planting vines in Mendoza that was warmer, closer to the coast. But now it's a different sort of concern regarding this high-elevation grape growing. The grapes have, what, more sunlight? And you've got a longer growing season?
That's correct. That's correct. I mean, there's two things that are very important, is that the altitude and the climate conditions there. In one side, it's very cold, as you can imagine, and it actually allows us to have a longer hanging time of the grapes in the plant and slower maturation of polyphenols and tannins, which actually give us a very soft and silky tannins and more concentration.
Okay, so you specialize in Malbec more than anything. So talk to us about the texture and the aroma profile of your Malbec grown in Uco Valley near the Andes Mountain compared to, let's say, Provence or Rhone.
All right. Okay, that's great. You have to understand first, for those who are not really familiar with Malbec, Malbec is a variety that has its origins in France.
And I should have said Bordeaux, and I missed that. Bordeaux. Malbec is one of the blending grapes in Bordeaux.
That is correct.
Yeah.
That's one of the blending grapes at Bordeaux, in Bordeaux. And also, I mean, the first origin we can track Malbec is in Cahors. But it's one of the...
Yes, yes, that, yes, thank you.
Yeah, no, they call it Cot there to Malbec. But the thing is that that Malbec in Mendoza really found the best place where to show all the potential. The good thing about the Malbecs we produce in the higher altitudes is that we get a lot of ripe plum, and probably blackberry fruit, we have very good minerality, and the best of all is we get a great concentration and very soft and silky tannins.
Oh, wow.
So, well, you could think of a perfect wine like that.
Yeah.
But honestly, Malbec really found the special place in Mendoza, in the higher altitude.
And are we talking 13.5% alcohol tops, or do you ever get as high as 13.8, 14% alcohol?
Well, it depends a lot on the year as well.
Yeah.
But, of course, we all our Malbecs, and in general, all Argentinian Malbecs, go from 13.5 up to 14.5, even 15.
Really?
Yes.
Wow, okay.
I mean, the thing is that there's you could think about a very higher altitude where it's really cold.
Yes.
But you have to think also that at higher altitude also, you have more sun intensity.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, and then how does that affect acidity in the grapes and the wine? At that higher altitude, does that temperature setup allow for the acidity to remain in the grapes and not be respired out like in California?
Well, absolutely. The thing is that the most important thing in terms of the acidity is the climate condition. And in the Yucca Valley, it's really cold. So we really have very cold nights. And then a lot of sun intensity during the day. You have to think of Mendoza. We have 280 days of sun a year out of 360. I mean, so we really have a lot of sun.
Yeah.
Plus a very cold climate. I mean, it's ideal to get the great acidity, which is not the same in the eastern part of Mendoza, where the difference in temperature between night and day are not that big.
And it
doesn't allow them to have such a good acidity.
So people living in the eastern part of Mendoza, closer to the Andes Mountains, do they really have to wear a lot of sunscreen and worry about, you know, their skin burning and that sort of thing?
Well, as you can imagine, the population over there is really used to it, to the sun intensity. But, for example, when we have people invited from Europe, from the United States or other countries, of course, we really recommend them to use it. Otherwise, they really burn.
Yeah, I'm sure. Just to put things in perspective, because people think, oh, it's cooler, so I'm not going to sunburn. But at that higher elevation, you're closer to the sun.
Well, that's correct.
Mm. So how do the wines of Bodega Cuarto Dominio age? How do the Malbecs age?
Well, there's probably two main things for a good Malbec to age. First of all is the acidity level, the pH. And the second is that they need to have a good concentration of tannins. So if you have these two conditions, among many other conditions, of course, but these are the two main conditions, it will give you, your wine, the ability to age. In our case, there's another thing, is that we blend all of our Malbecs with a small percentage of Cabernet Franc.
Oh.
Yeah, and the reason is that if there is something amazing we have at the vineyards, it's not only the Malbec, but the Cab Franc.
Mm.
So it allows us to have a more complex and more elegant wine, and also helps a lot in terms of acidity for a long time in bottle.
So how many different tiers are there from Bodega Cuarto Dominio? Like in the United States, how many different Malbecs do you export?
Well, we actually have four.
Okay.
And it's very easy because we are using different levels of this amazing Cab Franc we have.
Okay.
In the entry level, we use 5% Cab Franc and 95% Malbec. Then we go 7% Cab Franc, 10% Cab Franc, and then our icon wine, if you want, that we only make 12 barrels. It has 90% Malbec, 5 Petit Verdot, and 5 Cabernet Franc.
Oh, wow.
Yes. Basically, our idea is more than anything expressing our terroir.
Yes.
Not just making a Malbec, a jammy wine, but making really complex and elegant wine, which we know we can get from our vineyard.
And to reiterate again, you are in charge of the vineyards and Javier is in charge of what goes on in the cellar.
That's correct.
Okay.
I mean, you should picture a small winery. which is a small company as well. And yes. actually, we do a little bit of everything.
That makes sense. That makes
even
sense.
Even sending samples, you know, or going to do anything related to paying the vineyard workers or the... I mean, you can imagine we do everything.
Yeah, I understand that. I guess I'm thinking in terms of a bigger winery, but I can totally picture that. You know, what one hand does, the other hand is right there with it.
That is correct. Mm. I mean, he has a great experience, of course, as well, in terms of vineyards. And his family has vineyards everywhere as well in Mendoza. So we are both working hand by hand.
Andres Blanchard of Bodega Cuarto Dominio, we thank you so very much for joining us today.
Thank you so much.
The wines are from the Uco Valley of Mendoza along in the foothills of the Andes Mountains, and we will have links up for you to learn more. You're listening to Wine and Dine. You're listening to iWine Radio.